Well, it's quite obvious that today is our last Sunday here and that I'm planning to retire. And so I spent a lot of time considering how to use these last few minutes. But I was reminded that we come here not to honor me or anyone else, but to worship and praise God, to learn what he has for us to learn. And then I got to thinking, well, now what can I say that is so important that I can't not say it? I can go back. I can talk about all the things that need to be done. We've done that. And many of you have stepped up and said, I can do that. I'll take care of that. That's part of being the church. That's part of being what God has called you to do. That's why I came here. Because God had something for me to do. And when I came, I felt that there were two things in particular. Number one was, preach the gospel. And number two was, serve. Jesus himself said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What a model to follow. And then he commissioned his followers. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." You see, there's always the good side and the bad side. So today we're going to talk about what you have to believe. We already talked in the children's message that none of us will ever be able to earn our way into heaven, earn our salvation. Every Sunday, I've tried to squeeze into this short time as much as I can about the plan of salvation and about what the Bible says about that and about how to live. There's all kinds of lessons in that book. If you just read it as a storybook, there's some good stories. But every story in there has a message. And as you read through them, each time, you may see something different. You say, oh, that fits today, or what I'm going through right now. So folks, I've pushed you to learn, to read. I've told you to check up on what I say. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. And so that's one of the reasons, if you've noticed, that in the bulletin, every Sunday, up on the wall, every Sunday, are all of the scriptures that I quote from. That way you can take the bulletin home, and on Wednesday you could say, you know what? He talked about this. I don't know if I want to go along with that. I don't know if I believe that. And you can take out the bulletin and see where that is and look it up in your Bible. And say, oh, let me read a little bit more. And you read before it and you read after it and you put it in context. And you find out, yeah, that's what it says. Or, Lord help us, it says something different. I hope not. I think not. Because I've worked hard to tell you the truth. And not just the truth, but the whole truth. The good and the bad. But one of the discouragements, the biggest discouragement perhaps, has been what appears to be a lack of interest. Not only in the community out there, but sometimes right here. If we don't care about what God says, if we don't look for or listen to what he says, the consequences are severe. You just heard it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. John expanded on that. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, if I were to walk up to somebody and say, you're going to hell, if that's true, it's not because I decided it. It's because they are already condemned. Unless they're already saved. Now, just because I don't know that they've been saved or that are not, you know, I'm not the last word. Neither are you. Your belief in God and in Jesus is very personal. And I cannot change that belief. Nobody else can. Only you can have that personal relationship. Make that decision or not. The leaders in the church, in this church, are responsible to see that God's word is preached. Nancy's already working on people to be here every Sunday morning to preach the word of God. That will continue. Hopefully better, because you will have a number of different perspectives coming at you. And then you can go home and you can open your Bible and say, now, I have all of these people that agree on this, or I have one that disagrees. What does the Bible say? You see, you are responsible for your belief and for your understanding and your knowledge and for your wisdom or lack thereof. God says, you want wisdom? Ask me for it. And then he's going to tell you, now go learn too, so that you have something that I can speak through to teach you wisdom. But the bottom line here is that the person in the pulpit, or the elders in this church and the other leaders, they cannot change you. It's their job to see that this organization stands here, that the building is ready for us to come together in. Hopefully that it's heated. But they can't make anybody come. And they can't make anybody believe. And so it's a privilege, but it's also a duty to preach the gospel. Someone once said, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. You see, there are many ways for us to preach the gospel. Service is one of them. Some of us have been trained and experienced in visible things. And I know that as you have seen me around the community, you've seen me in many things, because I've been into visible things. You see a parade in the fire department, there I am driving a truck. You can see that. The homeless shelter, you go over there, I might show up. You can see that. I stand in the pulpit, you can see that. I walk down the street, you can see me. I serve on all these different boards and committees. People can see that. All right, that's good. That's what God has called me to do. That's what He's trained me to do. But He's also calling you. And some of the things that He calls you to do, people don't see. That's okay. They're just as important. And if people never recognize what you're doing, that's fine. But God is still calling you to do the good works that He prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Now I have to ask, why do some of our people serve and others not? This community is pretty poor in the volunteer ethic. And I didn't really understand so much why until this summer. As I was walking out of a council meeting, I met with the tribal council for the fire department, and we talked about a lot of different things. And I walked out, and Frank said to me, "Why do you do all of these things for this community?" And I said, "Because it's my community. This is my town." And I didn't really think much of it, because that's true. For almost 9 years, this is my town. And then I mentioned that to somebody else, that they were kind of surprised that I said that. And this person said, "I never thought about it that way." And then I began to visit with other people and to think more, and I realized that we have a lot of people in this town that have never owned it as their town. They never said, "This is my town, I care about it, I'm going to make sure that it's good and that it's safe." And the people are learning what they ought. If this is your town, if you own this town, it's yours, then you want it to be a bright, shining light that's an example to every other town around it. If it's not your town, you just live here, you don't care. I've said it many times. If you got it for nothing, then it's worth nothing. Then you don't take care of it. It can always be replaced. Or not. No big deal. Go out then, if this is your town, and buy it by your service. And Winnebago will become that shining example of what a small town ought to be. But more important than Winnebago is the Church of God. Those that gather here. And it's the same principle. Have you taken ownership of this organization? Is it yours? Are you part of it? Is this your family? I've said it many times. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters to each other. Do you own this family? If you do, then you will care about it and care for it and do the things that the family needs. And when somebody comes into this family and they're needy, you'll take care of that to the best of your ability. If you're wise, you will not enable wrong behavior. That's a very fine line to walk. It's a hard line to walk. When you see someone in need, you want to help them. I hope you want to help them. But you can't make it too easy, because God has a plan for them. And you need to help them see how they can take the responsibility for themselves and for the family, the church, the town. Because God gives every one of us a job to do, a responsibility. And he says, "Psst, here it is. Come on, do it." That's God calling. You walk down the street here, on the sidewalk. You see a piece of garbage laying there. What do you do? Okay, there it is. Or, no, this is my town. I want it to look good. Reach down, pick it up. Take it to the next trash can. You see, if this is your town, that's what you will do. If you just live here, forget it. You know, God has a gift for each one of us. But it's different for each one of us. But it has one thing in common with every other person's gift. God says, "Here it is. If you accept my gift, then you are part of my family and will be part of my family forever and ever. Amen." Every one of us has that part of the gift offered to us. But if you don't say yes, then you don't get it. Now, some people say, "Oh boy, I don't really know if I'm a Christian. I don't really know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if it can happen." Folks, I don't want you to leave this morning without knowing for sure, one way or the other. Because this isn't a maybe thing. This is important. Here it is. Are you ready? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came to earth to suffer, to die, to come alive again, and ascend to heaven to pay for your sin? It's a yes or no question. It's black and white. If you believe that, then you can say yes. And you're assured of it. Now, let me ask you, where do you get your assurance? Well, it's guaranteed by the one who created the universe. This universe, as far as you can see or think, he has the power to guarantee it, right? So, no question there. It's guaranteed by the one who is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And if God is the truth, then what he says is true. It's going to happen. You can be assured of that. There's no doubt. It's guaranteed by the God who knows everything. So you can be assured that he's not overlooking some little detail. It's for sure. And it's guaranteed by the God who is everywhere present. So he's not missing an event or something that happened. He knows it all, and he's all over it. And then, we talked about this last week, It's guaranteed by the God who loves you. The Bible says God is love. And his love never fails. So there's no question. If you believe, if you've accepted that gift, you're going to heaven. You're part of the family. Don't doubt it. And if anybody asks, let them know. But I want to remind you, you also have the assurance that if you say, no, I don't believe that, that you will go to hell. Pure and simple. And don't talk about, oh, I'm going to see so-and-so or so-and-so, you know, when I finally get to the other side. Believe me, if you go to hell, you're not going to be worried about that at all. And you can be assured. Because God is powerful. All-powerful. And he knows everything. I didn't tell you, but he's also just. He's the truth. And he loves us. And so he wouldn't tell a lie to us. And so if he says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's exclusive. One and only way. You know in your own mind, did you say yes or did you say no? You have God's assurance. So, when God called, I hope you said yes. So now, go live like it. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you because you care for us and about us. Watch over us. Show us your way. Give us the strength to stand up to those who would pull us to the side or try to teach us something different or to add to it or subtract from it. Lord, you've chosen us. You've called us. You've planned for us. So teach us your way. We're not worthy at all, not one bit. But we come in Jesus' name. Amen.